Ladies and gentlemen, you've perhaps heard the startling news about a new outbreak of the bubonic plague. That's right, a case of plague has been confirmed in China's Inner Mongolia region. And of course, authorities have then, as a result, issued an alert about this age-old disease because of the single individual who's caught it. He happens to be a herdsman, which means he has lots of contact with animals, those dirty, filthy, disease-ridden beings from which humans should be kept separate, probably just to keep us safe, right? Yeah, we'll see more about that. Every media outlet you can imagine is currently talking about this within the last few hours. The talking points went out, and so the CIA Mockingbird media spun into gear and started regurgitating these things. So now everyone has heard about the bubonic plague, just like a lot of people heard about the bunny Ebola, which is spreading across the United States right now, a brilliantly named, brilliantly branded disease linking bunnies and Ebola. More of this animal disease, right? Or perhaps, certainly you heard last week, because even Dr. Fauci was talking about how the new H1N1 variant that was found, again, on a pig farm in China had huge pandemic potential, and we need to keep an eye on it. Another case of this dirty animals having diseases that could kill us all, and we should be afraid. Here from the New York Times, they explain why we're seeing these new diseases, why we should be afraid. And more to the point, that it's our fault. How humanity unleashed a flood of new diseases. After all, what do COVID-19, Ebola, Lyme, and AIDS all have in common? Well, they jumped to humans from animals after we destroyed their habitat and we ruined their ecosystem. That's right. It's your fault. Thanks, New York Times. But it's not just the New York Times. In fact, over these past few months, a new narrative is being crafted. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to spend trillions of dollars devising and building smart cities with perfect electronic surveillance everywhere, a virtual panopticon where everything you do or say is logged, every piece of food you eat. We know about the smart cities and the technocrats implementing them. Eric Schmidt working with the DoD to build their AI that takes all of this data. I've covered all of this quite a bit. Lots of people have. But you're not going to spend a ton of money and build those things unless you also build some mechanism that you will use to herd all of humanity into those prisons. And that's what this narrative is, and that's what I want to explore today. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer channel. And over the past few months during the pandemic, the UN has been hastily putting out new information about zoonotic diseases. Indeed, from the UNEP fact sheet in May, last month. Quote, never before have so many opportunities existed for pathogens to pass from wild and domestic animals to people. And so there's the first big tell. It's not just domestic animals. But here, unless we act to protect habitat and biodiversity loss, pandemics will become a new normal. So here's another threat. In the name of public safety, we have to protect biodiversity. Well, that's an interesting name for it, isn't it? But when they talk about biodiversity, it's not the same as when I talk about biodiversity. When we talk about biodiversity in our gardens or on our farms, we're talking about having lots of different plants so that if one of them fails, you've still got other things to eat. And so that they all bring their own unique resiliences and they attract good beneficial insects, they feed different things into the soil. You want biodiversity because it builds a robust ecosystem. When the UN talks about biodiversity, what they mean is divorcing humanity from nature. Separating these filthy, disease-ridden animals from humans, who should, after all, be sealed hermetically into the smart cities so that we can keep them safe. I wish I were making this up, but it's, as I said, now becoming blatantly obvious that is the agenda at work here. That's the play. We knew they were building the smart cities. We knew that was the plan. But now we can see, as it comes into full visibility, that mechanism that they've created here to make it happen. From the UNEP, Emerging Zoonotic Diseases and Links to Ecosystem Health. There it is. Building that connection between biodiversity, as they call it, and these new pandemics. This is in April of 2020. As I said, they've been quite busy this year. And the UNEP has identified zoonotic diseases as a key issue of global concern, right? Because global problems require global solutions. And just this week, we've seen a rash of new coverage. Human activity raises the risk of more pandemics like COVID-19, according to a new UN report from the UNEP. Here is that report. More about that report. UN predicts rise in diseases that jump from animals to humans. Why? Well, due to their loss of habitat, due to us living on the land. We can't live out there. You can't live where you want anymore. You have to live in the smart cities. This is what's being done. That new report, which is entitled Working with the Environment in Order to Protect People, right? Always, we're here to help. We're from the government. Is what they're calling a COVID-19 response because, after all, in COVID-19, quote, the planet has delivered the strongest warning to date that humanity must change. And another choice quote down here. After all of these new pandemics, this one should be a never again moment. Never again should we allow this to happen. We must move into the smart cities. We must separate people from animals. And so what are they doing in response? Well, the UNEP is stepping up its work on zoonotics and on protecting the environment in order to reduce the risk of these zoonotic diseases. We got to separate people and animals. How do you do that? We're going to deliver a transformational change to nature and people. What does that mean? Sounds great, I guess. Transformational change. Here's a little bit more on that second point. A zoonotic risk and response program must reduce threats through nature-positive approaches, including a new global mapping of risks from habitat fragmentation and biodiversity loss. It's all about that biodiversity. Well, that's actually something they've been talking about for many years. And I just want to mention, even the club, and especially the Club of Rome, who after all was one of the progenitors, one of the authors of Agenda 21 in the first place, is now under COVID-19 saying, yes, we need to do a green reboot, the great green reset. Of course, they're advocating that. And they even discuss biodiversity here from the Club of Rome. Isn't that interesting? Like COVID-19 this year, climate change and the loss of biodiversity, and of course, the financial collapses that we have right ahead of us. Well, these are global problems. They don't observe national borders. They can only be managed through collective action before they become full-blown crises. Global problems require global solutions, which is why the Club of Rome is talking about it. So there's an organization called the IPBES, which describes itself literally as the IPCC for biodiversity. It kind of tells you everything you need to know already. But we'll take a look at some of the work they've been doing. The IPBES has this global assessment which says there's an unprecedented extinction going on right now. And of course, it's your fault. It's humans' fault. Quote, the overwhelming evidence of the IPBES global assessment presents an ominous picture, according to, well, the IPBES chair, of course. It's saying it of his own work. But yes, the health of ecosystems is now deteriorating more rapidly than ever. We're eroding the foundations of our very economy and our very society itself. And look at the language, ladies and gentlemen. It looks just like the IPCC claims. Quote from CNN, we have 10 years to save the Earth's biodiversity as a mass extinction takes hold. And it's your fault. Here's a bit from that clip.
It's not just the howling lemurs of Madagascar that could disappear forever. It could be the bees and butterflies that pollinate billions of dollars worth of crops every year, and the fish stocks that feed billions of people every day. According to a sweeping new study, today the biggest threat against nature is human nature.
What my colleagues have shown is that we have reconfigured dramatically the fabric of life of the planet.
There's many that like gross domestic product as an economic measure, but this is not a measure of the wealth of the world.
So the authors are calling for a seismic shift in how humans consume and how economies work, starting now.
I also asked, what is the urgency? The urgency, I wear cufflinks. These cufflinks of watches show me and remind me we have no time to waste. The time for action is now.
It's not, climate change is very important, but the number one driver for all this is land conversion, destruction of habitat, changes in that habitat.
Yes, life can only exist in balance. And right now, humanity needs to be struck down, needs to be herded back into the smart cities. Get them off the land, away from the dirty animals. That's literally what's being called for right now. Here is the draft zero of the UNEP's Convention on Biological Diversity, the Biodiversity Treaty, that's been thrown around now. It codifies something called Aichi, and in fact, they're forming a 2.0 Aichi, because people before had been calling for 17% of the land and inland water to be set aside for nature. Get people off the land. You can't live wherever you want to. What do you think, you're free? No. You're going to live where they tell you, where the global governance instructs you. You see, they're building this around you right now. Campaigners were concerned that 17% of the land wasn't enough, so they just bumped it up, right? That's what you do once you get people stuck. A goal has now been bumped up to at least 30% of the land will be cordoned off, no longer for human use. This is, like I said, actually a long-standing agenda, this whole thrust of biodiversity. It's only now being rolled up into this, like everything right now, into the COVID-19 response. They're going balls to the wall with all of their agenda across the board. But this is an avenue that's being relatively unexplored right now, and that's why I wanted to bring your attention to it today. Here's a little bit of the history, I won't go into it, about how this isn't a new agenda, and it wasn't even first appearing at the 1992 UN conference in Rio. In fact, it was first proposed back in 1981. So this has been a long time in the works, as has all of this agenda right now. And you've probably seen this graphic before. This was the map that surfaced. In order to protect biodiversity, there would be certain zones set aside and called core reserves. Ladies and gentlemen, this is still what they're called today. And so while this map may have looked ridiculous even yesterday to you, now we see that they're literally moving ahead on this. They fully intend to designate for biodiversity purposes, because otherwise there'll be more pandemics. The land will no longer be for human use. And gradually that number will go up and up until you don't have any option. You are herded into the smart cities where you were farming before. You no longer have access to that land. This is the agenda that's at play right now. Here's the UNEP just a couple weeks ago saying we need to protect our landscapes in order to protect humanity. We're from the government. We're here to help. It's all for your safety. It's always for the children. Think of the children and these zoonotic diseases. And now the UN has designated 2021 through 2030 as the decade on ecosystem restoration, which means by 2030, we'll be done restoring our ecosystems and all of you will be in your smart cities where you belong. Because that's Agenda 2030. It's a nice deadline that just happens to dovetail with their decade on ecosystem restoration. So I hope I've succeeded at decoding the language that they're using here to try and get their agenda sold to people. And people are buying it, right? People are buying a lot of stuff right now. That's the decade on ecosystem restoration. Prevent, halt, and reverse the degradation of ecosystems. What does that look like? It looks like rewilding your farms, turning them back into fields. Now you start to get the sense of why we've seen people in the past making what seemed like outlandish claims, like the top scientist in the UK saying, hey, we should rewild half of our farmland. At the time, it was just because of CO2 and animal farts. That didn't seem really to even be credible to this kind of thing. But now it all aligns with the agenda. Like I said, it's coming into full view finally. Professor Sir Ian Boyd had called for half of the nation's farmland in the UK to be converted to woodland and natural habitat. Why? To restore wildlife. And yes, to fight the climate crisis. But now we see there's two things at play here. And actually, they go hand in hand because, of course, they argue biodiversity causes CO2, lack of biodiversity, whatever. It's all one big ball of lies from their perspective. It's also why calls to make meat illegal that seemed ridiculous last year, well, they start to find, if you will, fertile ground this year, because people are being told, we have to do this or else we're all going to die. Okay, so all of these voices that have been sort of paving the way with extreme statements for years now, now we see the agenda that ties all of these things together. Now we realize that they've been the people out there securing the, you know, forging the path, blazing the trail, taking the heat to put down this path that now we're being asked to walk. So ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to get the word out today. I haven't seen enough people talking about this, and it's not a future that I can get behind. So if you want to keep this from happening, please join me in spreading the word, and I thank you for that. You can find this report and all of my work on iceagefarmer.com. Please support this broadcast. There are a few different ways beyond just spreading the word that you can do that, and you can find them at iceagefarmer.com/support. And I genuinely appreciate that. You can find Patreon or PayPal or Bitcoin, whatever is easiest for you, is very much appreciated. Thanks for watching, folks, and be well.